Let's continue on now with our discussion on the gifts of the Spirit. This will be lesson number 96. We're still on the revelation gifts. And by way of review, we've divided up the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit into three revelation gifts, three vocal gifts, and three power gifts. We've already discussed the three vocal gifts, and they were the gift of prophecy. They were also the gift of diverse tongues, and then the gift of interpretation of tongues. Those are called the vocal gifts. Now we've been discussing the revelation gifts, which are the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. We've discussed the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, and today we're going to discuss the gift of discerning of spirits. We've yet to discuss, and that's coming in the coming lessons, the power gifts, which are the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. So let's continue with our discussion of the revelation gifts. Today we're going to discuss the third revelation gift, which is the gift of discerning of spirits. Let's open our Bibles today to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is our text that we've been using all along for these discussions of the gifts of the Spirit. And in this chapter is laid out the description of all of the gifts. So let's read this chapter, or this a few verses in this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I would not have you ignorant. God does not want us ignorant about his spiritual gifts. And he tells us so right here. So then he goes on, so that we won't remain ignorant, telling us what they are. Let's go down to verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit, and he's talking about these spiritual gifts, is given to every man to profit withal. To profit simply means these gifts are given to profit us. They're never given to bring trouble or anything like that. They're always given to profit us, to bring good to us. Now here's what they are. Verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. We've discussed that already. To another the word of knowledge. We've discussed that by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. That will be our subject for today. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit. This is important. Dividing to every man, or each man, severally as he wills. That simply means that when the gifts are manifested, is that the Spirit wills, not man. Man cannot decide, this would be a good time for a manifestation of a gift of the Spirit. I think, and I've been used in this in the past, I think I'll just prophesy or give a word of wisdom. No, that can't be done. It's not, it's a manifestation of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, when and if he wills, not man. So we can't gin these things up on our own. Now, we're talking about the revelation gifts now. We've already discussed the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. We're now going to discuss the discerning of spirits. But so we'll know where the gift of discerning of spirits departs from the other gifts. Let's talk a little bit about what the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom were, just very briefly. The word of knowledge, if you recall, is a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of certain facts in the mind of God concerning either the past or the present. Let me say that again. The word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of certain facts in the mind of God concerning the past or the present. Now, the word of wisdom, another gift of the Spirit, differs from the word of knowledge in a couple of ways. It is also a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit. But this time, instead of being of certain facts in the mind of God, it's a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of the divine purpose and plan of God concerning the future, whereas the word of knowledge was concerning the past or the present. So you can see within those two gifts, everything in the past or the present or the future that concerns persons, places, or things is a potential subject matter for the gift of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. Now, the gift of discerning of spirits, which we're going to discuss today, also one of the revelation gifts, the third one that we'll discuss, let's define it. The discerning of spirits gives supernatural insight by hearing and or seeing into the spirit world. Let me say that again. The discerning of spirits gives supernatural insight by hearing and or seeing into the spirit world. Now that doesn't necessarily mean it's by seeing spirits, although it could be. But it's just seeing something or hearing something that comes from the spirit world. See, we have another world out there. We live in a material world here on planet Earth in our everyday lives, but there's a parallel spirit world that's existing all around us. And it's more real, really, than this physical world we live in because it created the world that we live in. God is a spirit, Jesus said. And that spirit created the world that we live in. So something that creates something else is more real than the thing it creates. So the spirit realm is very real. Let me say it again. The discerning of spirits gives supernatural insight by the Holy Spirit by hearing and or seeing into this spirit world. But not necessarily, you don't have to see or hear spirits, just into the spirit world. You might hear from spirits or you might see spirits, but it's not necessarily that. Now, the gift of discerning of spirits is a little more limited than the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, simply because the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom deal with persons, places, or things in this actual world. It's either something in the past or the present or something that's going to happen in the future. Whereas the gift of discerning of spirits is limited only to the spirit world. Now let me just say something else while we're talking about this. There is no such gift, excuse me, as the gift of discernment. So many times we hear people say, so-and-so has the gift of discernment, or something like that, thinking that they're being scriptural and describing one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Remember, this gift is called the discerning of spirits. It has nothing to do with having discernment. For example, sometimes people say so-and-so has the gift of discernment, meaning that they somehow have the ability to discern the motives or the faults of others. And so they discern what these people's true motives are or whether they're in error or not. This has nothing to do with that. This member is a gift of the Spirit. It's a manifestation, verse 7 in 1 Corinthians 12 tells us, of the Holy Spirit. Given is verse 11, 12, when He wills. This gift of discernment, so-called gift of discernment people talk about, is, you know, you don't have to have any special gift to discern a fault in someone. Unbelievers can do that quite well without the help of the Holy Spirit, as well as Christians operating in the flesh seem to do this quite well on occasion. That is, discerning the faults or motives of others. No, the gift of discerning of spirits has nothing to do with some so-called gift of discernment. Probably the best way to really delve in and find out what the gift of discerning of spirits is to look in the Bible for some examples. So let's just turn back into the book of Exodus and we'll look at some examples. Book of Exodus, chapter 33. Here we're going to see an example of the gift of discerning of spirits where Moses actually saw the form of God. We'll look at 33 verse. Well, let's start with verse 18. And he's talking with the Lord, Moses is. And he said in verse 18, he said, I beseech thee, he said this to God, show me thy glory. In other words, he wants to see more about God. He wants to see God. And God said back to him, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And verse 20, God says, and he said, thou cannot see my face. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to show you a little bit about me, what I'm like, but in my material form, but I'm not going to show you my face, because no man can see, in other words, his face and live. And the Lord said further, behold, there's a place here by me, and you, that you may stand upon a rock, talking to Moses. Verse 22, God's still speaking. And it shall come to pass, when my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, presumably so that Moses can't see God's face. In verse 23, and I will take away my hand then as I pass by, and then you'll be able to see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. So he's giving Moses a partial answer to what he desired. He wanted to see God's glory. And he's saying, I can't show you my face because no man can see my face and live. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put you in this little crevice of the rock, and I'll pass by, but I'm going to cover you with my hand as I go by. But when I get past you, then I'll take my hand away, and you'll be able to see the back part of me, the backside of me. But my face you cannot see. And so he showed Moses his back parts. Now, did Moses actually see God? No, he did not see God. God is a spirit. Jesus said this in John chapter 4, verse 24. He said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, we're never going to see a physical presence of God because he's a spirit. And so when Moses saw God in this particular instance, it was the gift of the operation of discerning of spirits in operation. He was able, by God's permission, to see into the spirit realm. This was not something that he ginned up on his own because he decided to do it. He asked God for God to show him his glory, but God had to acquiesce to that and say, yes, I will. And then he let Moses see into the spirit realm. So God is a spirit, and to see a spirit, you must have the gift of discernment of spirits in operation. For example, another example would be every vision that people have seen of Jesus since he ascended into heaven and was seated at the Father's right hand has been a vision and had been an example or a manifestation of the gift of discerning of spirits in operation. Now, some people think, and I used to think this too, that when someone has a vision of Jesus, he actually comes down here from heaven and appears to you. But no, he doesn't leave heaven. He doesn't leave the right hand of the Father. Jesus doesn't have, he just doesn't come down here and appear just here, and he's not in heaven then with the Father, and he's only here with you or whoever has the vision. That's false thinking. So every instance of someone seeing Jesus since he rose from the dead and sat down at the Father's right hand has been a vision and an example of the gift of discerning of spirits in operation. Every vision really is a manifestation of the gift of discerning of spirits. Now let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. If you look at your outline, I have that verse quoted here, talking about Jesus. Verse 12, Hebrews 10 says, talking about Jesus, but this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Now, from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. In other words, ever since Jesus has risen and sat down at the Father's right hand, from henceforth, he's been there. And till his enemies become his footstool. And then if we go read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it said the last enemy to put under his feet will be physical death. So all the enemies have not been put under Jesus' footstool or under his feet yet. The last enemy will be physical death. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 25 and 26. So we can glean this from these verses. Jesus is at the present time, from henceforth, until the last enemy has been put under his feet, which will be when physical death has been done away with, he's sitting at the Father's right hand. Now, since physical death has not been put away yet, he's still there, from henceforth, until his enemies be made his footstool. Well, I'm just making a point of this so that you can see that Jesus, when he ascended into heaven and sat down at the Father's right hand, he's been in heaven, his physical body, his flesh and bone body has been in heaven ever since that time. However, people have had visions of Jesus. And whenever they did after that time, it was a manifestation of the gift of discerning of spirits. Now let's look at some of those examples. Turn to Acts chapter 9, and we'll look at an example. There's many, many examples of this in the Bible. Every vision, really, if you just hunt visions up in a concordance, you can just go down through it and just see one example after another of the gift of discerning of spirits in operation. Let's look in Acts chapter 9 here, verses, let's see, 1 through 6. I won't read all of this because we're familiar with this. It's Saul was on his way to Damascus when he had a vision of Jesus. And in verse 4 it says, "And Saul fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it will be told thee what thou must do." Now, this is a vision. In this vision, or in this encounter with Jesus, he heard Jesus speaking to him and saw a bright light. Now, this is a manifestation of discerning of spirits, because remember, our definition said the discerning of spirits gives supernatural insight by hearing and or seeing into the spirit world. Okay, and so he heard Jesus. So this is an example of the discerning of spirits. We can get a little bit more information about this encounter if we'll go back to Acts chapter 26, when Saul, or now Paul, is describing this experience he had to a king, King Agrippa. And this starts in verse, he's talking about this, and he says in verse 13, "At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he goes on here and repeats some of the things that we read earlier. But one thing I want to call to your attention is in verse 19, he says, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." So we see here a vision doesn't, you don't have to necessarily see someone. In this case, all he saw was a bright light, but he heard Jesus. So a vision can be hearing or seeing into the spirit realm, and it's always a manifestation of the gift of discerning of spirits when this happens. Okay, let's look at some more examples. Let's go back here now and look back in Acts chapter 9. There's quite a few examples right here in this one chapter, Acts chapter 9. And we'll look this time in verses 10 and 11. Verse 10, "And there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord," talking about Jesus in a vision, "Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand upon him, that he might receive his sight." It says in verse 10 that this was a vision that Ananias had. And in this vision, he saw Jesus. Okay, so this again is a manifestation of the gift of discerning of spirits, because Jesus is in heaven. This is just him seeing into the spirit realm and Jesus showing himself in a vision. Not his physical body or anything like that, but in a vision, he shows Ananias himself, Jesus, and tells him some things. Now, in this particular thing, he not only has a gift of discerning of spirits in operation, but if you notice, He also received a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge at the same time. As a matter of fact, these gifts often work together like this. In this particular case, there was a vision, which is an operation of the gift of discerning of spirits, and then he told Ananias what to do. He says, arise and go into the street, which is called straight. That hadn't happened yet, but he was telling him what to do in the future, so that was a word of wisdom. And then he says, when you get there, inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. This tells him about something that either has happened or is happening right now. So that's a word of knowledge. So in this one verse, we see all three of these gifts in manifestation. The discerning of spirits, to see Jesus in the first place. The word of wisdom, where he's told something to do in the future. And the word of knowledge, where he tells him about something that's happening right now, or has happened. And so all three of these gifts are manifested together. In fact, let's go on to verse 12. Here we see Saul is having a vision, Jesus tells Ananias. It says, Saul has seen in the vision a man named Ananias, that would be the one Ananias we're talking about here, coming in and putting his hands on him. So Paul has also had a vision, not just Ananias, and he saw in his vision Ananias coming in and putting his hand upon him. So that would be a manifestation of the gift of discerning of spirits, where he saw Ananias coming in, and since this hasn't happened yet, it was going to happen in the future, this would be also a word of wisdom to Paul. So Paul has also had a vision, and a word of, has the manifestation of the gift of discerning of spirits, and a word of wisdom. So we see a lot of this happening in these few verses here. Well, let's go on a little bit, and we'll see some more examples. Let's turn the page to Acts chapter 10, and we'll look at another example. Acts chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Now this is a man that's not even a Jew. He's a Roman. He's a Roman soldier. He's a centurion. That means he's ahead of 100 troops. This particular man, though, was a devout man, verse 2 tells us, and one that feared God with all his house. And he gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now here's his vision coming. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. Here Cornelius sees an angel in a vision. This again would be an example of the gift of discerning of spirits, because he sees into the spirit realm, and he also sees a spirit or an angel. He didn't actually see a body of an angel. He saw in a vision this angel. This was a gift of the discerning of spirits, and it came to a man who wasn't a Christian, who wasn't even a Jew. He was just a person. So this shows us that this God can manifest these gifts whenever he wants to, as the Spirit wills. And he had this vision. Okay, so we see Cornelius had a vision. There's so many examples of this in the Bible. Let's just go on and look at another one. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16, and we'll look at verse, 9. This is when Paul was on a journey, and he was coming down, it says, to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, that means asked Paul, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called for us to preach the gospel unto them. Here's an example of Paul and Silas, and Luke 2, because it says us, he was the one that wrote the book of Acts. Paul had the vision, though, and they didn't know where to go next. They were just going, and in fact, if you read verses 7, it said that they tried to go in Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. I mean, he wouldn't allow them to go there. And then passing by Mysia, they came to Troas, and Paul had the vision, and that vision showed him where to go. And so he didn't actually see, there wasn't really a man in Macedonia, from Macedonia, that came up to Paul in the middle of the night and says, hello, Paul, would you come over and help us? No, it was a vision of a man in Macedonia. an actual man in Macedonia, but it was a gift of discerning of spirits, where Paul saw this man who was still in Macedonia, saying to Paul, come over into Macedonia and help us. So that was a gift of discerning of spirits there. He had a vision, saw this man over in Macedonia, calling to him. Well, after he saw the vision, they left and went to Macedonia. So Paul had a combination of the gift of discerning of spirits here, but also of the word of wisdom, because he received knowledge on what to do next, something in the future, what to do in the future. It was a revelation of the plan and purpose of God for these men at this particular time. So that's a word of wisdom. But that word of wisdom came through the gift of discerning of spirits. I think by now we're getting a pretty good idea of what this gift is. I think as we go on here, it will clear up what this gift is and what it's not. You can certainly see now it's not a gift of discernment where somebody just sort of sees the motives or something, motives are false in a person or something like that. Nothing like that at all, is it? It's entirely different. So we're seeing different examples here. Let's go on in this same chapter and go down to verse, let's see, number 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, this is just a little bit later, after they got over in Macedonia and were traveling through that area, it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. Well, that sounds good enough so far. It was true, wasn't it? That's what they were there for. But listen to what happened. And this did she many days. In other words, this young maiden that was possessed with this spirit did this for several days. Can you imagine? They're going around and for several days, all day long, she would follow them saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which shows us the way into salvation. These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way into salvation. Over and over and over. This she did many days. And finally, Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Now, why is this the gift of discerning of spirits? Do you notice here that Paul put up with this for several days, and then finally, all of a sudden, he turned and said, now who did he talk to here? Did he talk to the maiden and say, quit following us and driving us crazy with these proclamations day after day after day? No. That's what most people would do. He spoke to the Spirit, and he commanded him to come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, how did Paul know that it wasn't just some crazy woman following him and just crying out these things? Because the Holy Spirit, through the gift of discerning of spirits, showed him what the root cause of this funny behavior on the part of this maid, what it was from, and showed him what to do about it. And so Paul could see into the spirit realm, could see what the problem was with this young lady, and could see the spirit that was troubling her, and he spoke directly to the spirit. He didn't say anything to the woman. He just said, I command you, speaking to the spirit, in the name of Jesus, to come out of her. So he didn't deal with the person. He dealt with the spirit. And this wasn't a discernment of some sort of fault in this young lady, where she was crazy or just driving him crazy by running around proclaiming this all day. It wasn't just him discerning some fault in her and talking to her. No. He dealt with the spirit behind the problem, not with the young lady. He didn't discern her faults, but he discerned the spirit that was in her. And he was only able to do this as the Spirit willed. In other words, for a few days there, the Spirit evidently didn't say anything to Paul. And he put up with this, wondering probably what was wrong with this young lady. Then on one day, finally, the Holy Spirit revealed to Paul through the gift of discerning of spirits what the problem was, and Paul dealt with it the way that we should always deal with spirits, evil spirits, and that is with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's another example of the gift of discerning of spirits, but this time the Holy Spirit revealed what the real problem was behind a situation that was bothering Paul and showed him how to deal with it. Okay, now let's turn another, we'll get another example, and we'll turn to Acts chapter, no, let's turn to Mark, Mark chapter 5, Mark chapter 5, and we'll see a famous case of that's in the Bible that's quite detailed. I don't say famous, it's something, I guess it's because I've read it a lot and I've got a lot of information from it. Mark chapter 5, and we'll just read about the, what some people call the madman of Gadara. All right, let's just start here and with verse 1. We'll just read. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over the other side of the sea unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when Jesus was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. So here's a man that's possessed by an evil spirit, in this case an unclean spirit, and he's received superhuman strength from these spirits that are inside him. They've affected even his physical body. And it says in verse 5 that always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying out and cutting himself with stones. It's not a pretty picture. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice that said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God that you torment me not. Now we're going to see in a minute, this isn't the man crying out to Jesus that Jesus hears. These are spirits inside the man that are crying out. But Jesus, through the gift of discerning of spirits, can hear them. And he said to the, for he said to the man, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. The reason Jesus knew this was an unclean spirit is through the discerning of spirits. As a matter of fact, it said the reason in verse 7 these demons called out to Jesus and cried out to him was because Jesus had said previously, it says in verse 8, for he had said unto them, Come out. So Jesus said, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And then verse 7 took place. And they cried with a loud voice and said, What have we to do with you, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. So, and then Jesus began to speak with the Spirit. And the reason he could hear the Spirit and speak with the Spirit was through the gift and the operation of the manifest, or through the gift of discerning of spirits. It was a manifestation of this gift that Jesus was able to hear these spirits and talk to these spirits. And he even asked them in verse 9, What is your name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. In other words, there was one spirit, the unclean spirit, that was speaking up and answering Jesus' question. And he's saying, It's not just me down here. There's many more besides me. And then this unclean spirit besought Jesus much that he would not send them away out of the country. They're still talking with each other here in the gift of discerning of spirits. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. So Jesus is the only one that heard and saw these spirits. Nobody else that was with him. It says they came over to the other side. We have no record of them hearing or seeing anything. It was just Jesus, through the gift of discerning of spirits, knew what was really the problem with this man. And he delivered the man. And we go on and find out down in verse 15, And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. So this completely delivered the man. when Jesus spoke to these demons and cast them out of him. And so here we see an example of the gift again of the discerning of spirits. So we've seen several examples of discerning of spirits in our account today. There's one last example I'd like to tell you about, and it concerns a personal experience I had one time. In fact, I had this experience the very day I was saved. Let me just tell you a little bit about what happened. I had not received Jesus as my Savior up to this point in my life. As a matter of fact, I didn't know that it was even possible to do this. I didn't know that there was this wonderful gift of salvation being offered. But my mother had visited us, and she had recently gotten saved, and she had tried to describe to me her personal experience and how necessary it was, and was trying to, in her own way, tell me about it. And before she left, and she was visiting us at the time, she left a couple books with me. She bought some books and then left them with me. And after she left, I got out one of the books on a Sunday afternoon. No one else was at home, and I decided to go out in our yard and read one of these books that Mom had bought me. And I was reading these books, and in the book it was explaining about how to be saved. And I remember thinking at the time, so that's what Jesus was doing on the cross. He explained in there how he paid the penalty for our sins. And for the first time, I had an understanding, really, of what Jesus was truly doing on the cross and how it affected me, how he paid the price for my sins. And it wasn't through doing anything good or living as good a life as I can to be saved, but it was through receiving by faith what he had done for me. In other words, accepting Jesus into my heart. And so as I was out there reflecting on this, I told the Lord, I would like to have this experience, Lord. I mean, it says here in this book that you did this for all mankind, and I see now that you went to the cross for me. I never understood that before, how you dying 2,000 years before I even lived could have done something that affected me. But now I understand that you not only paid the price for all the sins of people that lived up into that time, but you also paid the price for my sin as well. And so for the first time, really, I understood what the gospel message of salvation was, and I wanted to receive Jesus as my Savior right then. Well, I was there in my yard discussing this with the Lord. All of a sudden, it was like everything just faded out that was in the yard around me at the time. All I could see off to my left and maybe forward about 8 or 10 feet, a cross. And on this, it was a big wooden cross. It was almost like it was made out of almost as big as, well, it wasn't as big as railroad ties, but maybe 6x6 timbers or something like that. There was this cross, this one vertical thing with a cross piece on it. And hanging on the cross was my daughter. Now, this sounds a little strange, I realize, but let me explain. My daughter at the time was about 7 years old, and she had long blonde hair. And as I looked upon this cross and saw it in my yard, had this vision, really, of this cross, and my daughter was there hanging on it. She was nailed to the cross, and her head was slumped forward, and her blonde hair was just hanging down. She had long blonde hair. She was about 7 years old. It was hanging down. I began to cry. I began to weep uncontrollably, really, because it was such a sad sight to see my daughter hanging on this cross. And while I was crying from this picture of my daughter, and she was dead. She had her eyes closed, and her head was hanging down. As I was seeing this cross there and crying, I just heard the Lord speak to my heart, and he said, just as you see your daughter hanging on the cross and it grieves you, so it grieved me to see my son hanging on the cross. And I understood for the first time how much it was hard for the Father. We think about Jesus and what he went through to go to the cross, but think about how you love your child and how much harder it would be for the Father to witness his son go through this than it would actually be probably for the Son himself. Just like it would be more difficult for you to watch your own daughter, like I was seeing right there, hang from the cross. You'd rather you were there. And my Father said to me in my heart, said, just as you grieve from seeing your daughter hang on this cross, so too I was grieved to see my Son hanging on the cross. But it was the only way that I might receive you as my Son. And I loved you so much that I allowed my only Son to go to this cross and suffer the way he did so I could have you for my Son. Well, it was a revelation to me of my Father's love that I've never forgotten, and I can see it as clearly today as I could see it then. And the only reason I share this in this lesson is because really this was a vision that I had that was a manifestation of the discerning of spirits. I saw into the spirit realm. I saw my daughter. I saw a cross that wasn't really there. It was just a vision. So it was discerning of spirits. And in that gift of discerning of spirits, I also had a word of knowledge. And the word of knowledge really showed me about what Jesus' sacrifice meant to my Father. And because of how much, how hard it was for our Father to let that happen to Jesus, showed me in a way I'll never forget of how much he loved me and how much he loves you. And so this really completes our lesson on the gift of discerning of spirits today. And next we'll discuss the homework. Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained. Okay, now let's take a look at our homework for lesson 96, which was on the gift of discerning of spirits. All right, first question is true or false. The definition of the gift of discerning of spirits, which I've abbreviated DOS, is the supernatural seeing or hearing into the realm of evil spirits. Is that true or is that false? Well, it's false. It's not only that. Let's look at our definition. Our definition of the discerning of spirits is giving supernatural insight by hearing and or seeing into the spirit world. Anything in the spirit world that we see would be through the gift of discerning of spirits. It's not necessarily the hearing or seeing of evil spirits or spirits itself. You wouldn't have to see a spirit, but you could just see into the world, the realm of spirits, and that would be the gift in operation. So this would be too restrictive. You might see an evil spirit in the gift of discerning of spirits or hear an evil spirit, but it's much more than that. It's broader than that. So this would be false. The definition of the gift of discerning of spirits is a supernatural seeing or hearing into the spirit realm, not just the realm of evil spirits. It would include that, but not be limited to that, so it'd be false. Next question. The discerning of spirits is more limited than the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge because it is able to discern only into the spirit realm and not able to infer anything about the realm of persons, places, or things in the natural realm as the word of wisdom and word of knowledge do. That's a long true or false question, but let's just look at it for a minute. Is the discerning of spirits a more limited gift than the word of wisdom or word of knowledge? Yes, it is, simply because of what this question says. So this is true. It is more limited than the word of wisdom or word of knowledge because it only can discern into the realm of spirits or the spirit realm, and it cannot tell anything about the material realm of persons, places, or things in the natural realm. We use the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge to do that. But all of them together could theoretically give you any piece of information there is, if God chose to do that, because it would include everything about persons, places, or things, either past, present, or to come, and would include the spirit realm as well. So all of them taken together would be a complete revelation of anything God would want to bring. But it's true, it is more limited than the word of wisdom or word of knowledge. So that the answer to that question is true. True or false? The gift of discernment is often able to show the faults and motives of others. Well, I think that's an easy question. That's false. There is no such gift of discernment or a gift from God to show the faults and motives of others. That's something that we often do on our own when we really shouldn't, and that's called judging others, which is really forbidden by the Bible. So that is a false to that question. True or false, when Jesus appears in a vision, his body is actually physically present. True or false? That's false. When Jesus appears in a vision, his body is not actually physically present. His physical body is in heaven at the right hand of the Father. But what we see in a vision is the gift of discerning of spirits in operation. He's not actually physically there. Jesus isn't. Okay, so that's false. The next question. No, the actual physical body of Jesus is at the Father's right hand. Well, I gave that one away, didn't I? What we see in a vision of Jesus is a manifestation of the gift of discerning of spirits. Well, that's true. I just explained that. Really before I should have in the previous question. Next question. God is an actual material being. So when Moses saw him in Exodus 33:20-33, he actually saw the physical presence of God. True or false? Well, that's false. God is not an actual material physical being. He is a spirit, which is no less real. In fact, the spirit realm, as we discussed, is even more real than the physical realm we live in. Really, we're living right now on this earth, excuse me, in a special case that's only necessary while we live on this physical earth. When we live to heaven, we'll get a spiritual body, which will nevertheless be a body, but it'll be a spirit body, which is just as real or even more real than the one we have now. Remember, spirit being, God, created this physical world we lived in. It wasn't a physical being that created a spiritual world. It was the other way around. Spirit world is a very real world. Just because it isn't tangible to our senses does not mean it's any less real. Okay, so that would be false. God is not an actual material being. No, when Moses saw God's rear parts in Exodus 33:18-23, he was seeing into the spirit realm by the gift of discerning of spirits, since God is a spirit. Well, that's true. He was seeing into the spirit realm by the gift of discerning of spirits, since God is a spirit. So that would be a true to the answer. When Jesus walked the earth before he went to the cross, when his disciples saw him, it was because of the gift of discerning of spirits in operation. Let me read that a little bit better. When Jesus walked the earth before he went to the cross, in other words, when his disciples could see him, it was because of the gift of discerning of spirits in operation. No, that's false. When Jesus walked the earth before he went to the cross, whenever his disciples saw him, they just saw his body. Now, that's obvious, I think, but I just wanted to bring out the difference here. So that would be false. They actually saw, when he walked the earth with them and taught them, his actual physical body. When Jesus walked, the next question, when Jesus walked the earth before he ascended into heaven, Jesus' disciples saw his actual physical body when they saw him. Yes, that's true. So we see that before Jesus ascended into heaven, his actual physical body was here, seen by his disciples. But when he finally went to heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father, any time that people saw him after that, it was a gift of discerning of spirits in operation. Oh, I keep answering the questions that follow. I got to quit doing that. Let me just say the next question anyway. But after Jesus sat down at the Father's right hand, his body has remained there, and all sightings of Jesus have been through the gift of discerning of spirits. That is true. All the gifts of the Spirit are given so that we may profit. True or false? That's true. All these gifts are given to bring us information or help us in some way. We have gifts, so we said before, that tell something, which are the vocal gifts, like the gift of prophecy or the gift of diverse tongues or interpretation of tongues. We have gifts that reveal something, which would be the gifts that we're discussing now, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and the gift of discerning of spirits. And we have the power gifts, which do something, which would be the gift of faith and the working of miracles and the gifts of healing. But all of these gifts are given so that we might profit. Next question, true or false? Sometimes a gift of discerning of spirits is manifested in combination with another gift, such as word of wisdom or word of knowledge. Well, that's true. We saw several cases in our lesson where the gift of discerning of spirits was manifested in order to bring a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge to the person so that they might profit. All visions are a manifestation of the gift of discerning of spirits, since we receive supernatural insight by hearing and or seeing into the spirit world. And that is a true. All visions, by definition of what a gift, the gift of discerning of spirits is, must be a manifestation of the gift of discerning of spirits. So that's true. The gift of discerning of spirits may also be apparent to my physical senses. True or false? Well, again, by the definition of what the gift of discerning of spirits is, that would be false. It will never be apparent to your physical senses, because there would be no need for the gift of discerning of spirits if something was apparent to your physical senses. God only brings the gift of discerning of spirits as the Spirit wills, to give us information we couldn't get without it. Information that we can get from our senses, He doesn't use the gift of discerning of spirits to do. Discerning of spirits is a hearing or seeing into the spirit realm, not anything discerned by our physical senses. Next question. If I have a manifestation of the gift of discerning of spirits, I will always see some kind of spirit. True or false? That's false. You could see a spirit with the manifestation of the gift of the discerning of spirits, and sometimes do, but the gift of discerning of spirits is broader than that. Remember our definition? The discerning of spirits gives supernatural insight by hearing and or seeing into the spirit world. Anything in the spirit world, not necessarily seeing a spirit of some kind. Just anything in the spirit world. So you won't always see some kind of spirit, so that would be false. In Acts chapter 9, verse 12, Saul couldn't really have had a vision because he was temporarily blind. In other words, I'm saying here, there couldn't have been a vision he saw because, remember, he was blind after Jesus appeared to him. That's false. Just because he was temporarily blind in his senses doesn't mean you can't have a vision, simply because a vision is beyond the sense realm of seeing and hearing in this physical world. It's seeing and hearing into his spirit world. So he could have had a vision, even though he was temporarily blind. So that question is false. When Jesus dealt with a demon-possessed man in Mark chapter 5, he actually heard the demons in the man speak, and they heard him speak to them too. True or false? That's true. They actually heard each other speak. Now, how did they do that? Next question. Jesus heard them through the operation of the gift of the discerning of spirits. And that's true. The only way you can hear from a spirit is through the operation of this gift, because they're in the spirit realm, we're in the physical realm. And to hear anything or see anything in the spirit realm, we must have an operation of the gift of discerning of spirits. So that completes our lesson on the gift of discerning of spirits. I think through this lesson, it'll be clearer what this often misunderstood gift is all about.